From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the book of Joshua. Once again, the text is Joshua chapter 8, verses 30 through 32, the account of Joshua building an altar to God on Mount Ebal. As we learned in the previous broadcast, Joshua was fulfilling the command of Moses from Deuteronomy chapter 27. According to that passage, Mount Ebal was the place of blessing, while its opposite, Mount Gerizim, was the place of the curse. From this narrative, Dr. Cairns declared that the cross of Christ, planted in the soil of the curse, replaced the curse of sin with blessing for those who trust in Christ for salvation. In this further consideration of the altar at Mount Ebal, Dr. Cairns will seek to show how the cross of Christ meets every standard of the law of God, thereby procuring the justification of His people. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the writings of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 25. If thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. God's altar was to be built of unhewn stones, that no trace of human skill or labor might be seen upon it. Human wisdom delights to trim and arrange the doctrines of the cross into a system more artificial and more congenial with the depraved tastes of fallen nature. Instead, however, of improving the gospel, carnal wisdom pollutes it, until it becomes another gospel and not the truth of God at all. All alterations and amendments of the Lord's own word are defilements and pollutions. The proud heart of man is very anxious to have a hand in the justification of the soul before God. Preparations for Christ are dreamed of, humblings and repentings are trusted in, good works are cried up, natural ability is much vaunted, and by all means the attempt is made to lift up human tools upon the divine altar. It were well if sinners would remember that, so far from perfecting the Savior's work, their carnal confidences only pollute and dishonor it. The Lord alone must be exalted in the work of atonement, and not a single mark of man's chisel or hammer will be endured. There is an inherent blasphemy in seeking to add to what Christ Jesus, in His dying moments, declared to be finished, or to improve that in which the Lord Jehovah finds perfect satisfaction. Trembling sinner, away with thy tools, and fall upon thy knees in humble supplication, and accept the Lord Jesus to be the altar of thine atonement, and rest in Him alone. Many professors may take warning from this morning's text as to the doctrines which they believe. There is among Christians far too much inclination to square and reconcile the truths of Revelation. This is a form of irreverence and unbelief. Let us strive against it, and receive the truth as we find it, rejoicing that the doctrines of the Word are unhewn stones, and so are all the more fit to build an altar for the Lord.
Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call while God is near. God abundant, we will pardon those who turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. God will have mercy on
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Joshua chapter 8, verse 30 to verse 35 is the passage we're reading. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man hath lift up any iron. And they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side the ark, and on that side before the priests, the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well the stranger as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. This morning I want to emphasize a truth that comes very clearly to mind by conjoining verse 30 with verse 32. I'm not overlooking verse 31. Simply, I want you to get the connection very, very simply and clearly. Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, and he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. Joshua's actions, described in the passage we have just read, were in obedience to the words of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 27. According to that command, Joshua raised two great pillars of stone, plastered them with plaster in which he inscribed the law of God. And then he built an altar of whole stones, that is, stones that were not fashioned by the skill and tools of men. Having done that, he separated the tribes of Israel into two groups of six tribes. One group stood at Mount Ebal and cried Amen as the curses for the breach of the law of God were read. The other group stood at Mount Gerizim and said Amen as the blessings upon obedience to the law of God were read. Now that is the scene. Every part of the action which Joshua took on that occasion was deeply significant. The text that I have taken concentrates especially on the building of the altar on Mount Ebal and the erection of two pillars of stone on which were inscribed the law of God. Now the fundamental message of the text is simply this. On Ebal, Joshua erected his altar of sacrifice at which the law of God was written and read. That entire scene, as I pointed out last Sabbath day, that entire scene presents to us a picture of the cross and the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It teaches us three vital lessons. Last week we dealt with the first of those lessons, which was that God raised the cross on the ground of the curse to procure for us his blessing. Today we move to the second lesson that we elicit from the text. This is a lesson that deals with a truly enormous subject, a great subject, a subject, I think, than which there is none more precious to the believer in all the Word of God. The subject is the cross, the law, and our justification. And what I want to show you from the text in Joshua 8, as we deal with the subject, The cross, the law, and our justification. What I want to show you is simply this. The cross of Christ meets every standard of the law of God and thereby procures our justification. And if you remember nothing else from what I say, I hope that you do. If I thought there was nothing beyond that to say, I would quit here. I hope you do. But if you remember nothing else, I trust that you'll ask the Lord to write this fundamental truth upon your heart, that the cross of Christ satisfies and meets to the utmost perfection every standard of God's law and thereby procures our justification. I have three very simple statements to make as I try to expound that truth to you. First of all, the cross of Christ magnifies the righteousness of the law of God. Try to get a picture of our text in your mind. Beside the altar, Joshua placed these two pillars upon which he inscribed the law of God. Now, that, as I've said, was a significant action, because by putting the law and the altar side by side, he was showing that the altar bore eloquent testimony to the character of the law. Now, follow me carefully. The law of God reflects for us the nature of its author. That is clear in many, many passages of Scripture. When the Lord gave the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, he gives a preamble. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God. In other words, he prefaces what he has to command with a statement of who he is. And the very nature of God is thereby stamped upon and revealed in and through the law that he gave. This is graphically set before us in the book of Leviticus chapter 19. I recommend you to read that passage very carefully. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say, now, read down the chapter and you have a list of commandments. Ye shall be holy. First commandment. Ye shall be holy. Why? For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. Why? I am the Lord your God. Turn ye not unto idols, nor make yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God. And so on down this chapter, this constant repetition. Here is the commandment. Here is the law. And here is the reason for it. I am the Lord. And the very plain message that comes through is that God's commands are not arbitrary. God's commands are not capricious. God's commandments to his people are very much the exposition to those people of the very nature of God. So that when he gives us his law, he gives us a revelation of himself. The righteous standards of the law reflect not the opinions of men, not the religious consciousness of Israel, not the religious genius of Moses. That's the sort of language that the liberals like to use. But the righteous standards of the law reflect the righteousness of the God who gave it. And that is what Joshua was teaching to the children of Israel when he erected the pillars of the law beside the altar of sacrifice. My friend, that is exactly the very truth which our greater Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, taught at his altar on Mount Calvary. With every groan of agony, with every drop of blood, the Lord Jesus Christ testified, because the law reveals the very nature of God, the law is holy and it is good. Its standards are right and they are inviolable. Its sentence is just and immutable. That's the message that the cross bears regarding the law of God. It is ignorance of the majesty of God's holiness that allows men to think of sin as something less than thoroughly vile, and that allows them to think of the law of God as something weak, something tractable, or something changeable. When we begin to grasp something of the blazing holiness of God, then we also grasp the awesome strictness of God's law. The Lord has declared the strictness of his law over and over and over again. For breaking his law, God turned angels out of heaven. For breaking his law, God expelled Adam from Eden. And he brought the whole creation under his curse. And to use the words of Edward Griffin, a great American preacher of revival times, he changed this beautiful world into a prison house of groans, a shambles of blood. Because of the breach of his law, he has cast millions and billions into hell and its fires forever. But there is one place above all these. There is one way above all these, in which the Lord has declared the righteousness of his law. The place is Calvary, and the way is the cross of Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.